الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected علماء الكرام and beloved elders and brothers, we had been discussing friendship and some verses of the Holy Quran, reference to friendship. We also mentioned some ahadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guidelines for the ummah as to who a person should adopt and take as his friend and companion. The hadith that I read before you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells us that al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi, that a person is upon the religion of his friend, upon the lifestyle of his friend, upon the code of life of his friend. فَلْيَنْزُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ, then be wary and be careful who you befriend. In other words, a person is definitely affected by the deen, by the beliefs, by the way of life, by the conduct and behavior of his friend. So we should be very wary and careful and vigilant as to who we befriend, who we take as our friends. Because if a person takes a person who is a sinner, who is a non-Muslim, who is disobedient to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is his lifestyle, that is his way of life, that is his behavior, then a person that will befriend such a person, he will be affected by this. And he will also begin to be affected by this and also begin to be disobedient to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this works both ways. If a person befriends that person who is pious, is upright, is religious, is righteous, and he is abiding the laws of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has the fear of Allah, has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person that befriends him, he will be definitely affected by this as well. And he will also begin to adopt that lifestyle, will also begin to follow his way. What a great reality that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has drawn our attention towards. Sometimes you see in a society a person who is brought up in a very nice home, in Islamic manner, and he abides by the laws of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and suddenly we find that the person is missing. You do not see him in the places of virtue, in the good gatherings, in the pious actions. He seems to have fallen out somewhere. Sometimes we feel maybe he's left the place, etc. But when you meet him, we find that he's still living in the same area. But only thing is his companionship has changed. Before he had befriended good people that took him towards goodness and virtue. Now he has joined such company that are taking him away from goodness, taking him towards evil, and the disobedience of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, you find a person sometimes you never see before. You didn't see him, he's living in the area for so long. Suddenly, alhamdulillah, you find that he is participating in all good actions. He is in his salat. He is there when in the forefront when it comes to serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what happens? You find and you establish that he has created links and a connection and a friendship and a bond with those people that are righteous and pious. And he is affected by their piety, he is affected by their righteousness, and alhamdulillah, we find him carrying out good actions. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns us here in this hadith, and you see very often a person is not only affected, but he wishes to keep up that relationship and to appease his friends, that you call peer pressure, that a person is doing bad and the person is an evil person, somebody befriends him, till he does not indulge and involve himself in that evil, his friend is not happy with him. He offers him and tells him to come towards evil places, the dens of vice, and he tells him to participate in sin. This person is a bit reluctant because he is not habitual. He does not normally, he is not accustomed to perpetrating such sins. And he tells him, ah, come on, man. You can't be so old-fashioned or backward, etc. Join us. Just to appease his friend, to get the friendship, to keep up that friendship, or to please his friend, he joins them. And finally, he also strays away from the right path. And similarly, you find that person who is reluctant to carry out good deeds, but he has a good friend, that person encourages him and tells him and encourages him and helps him to walk the path of piety, and this person, mashallah, becomes a pious person. So Rasulullah says, فَلْيَنْزُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. Be careful and be vigilant and be wary and be who you take as your friend, because the friendship of that person will definitely affect you. Very, very simple. The criteria, what is the criteria and the gauge to judge a good friend from a bad friend? A good friend is that person that helps you on the part of piety, helps you on the part of righteousness, helps you in the part of obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a bad friend is that person that takes you away from disobedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To such an extent, people are not even concerned about the rights of their family members around them, the rights of the wife, the rights of the parents, the rights of the family, the children, etc. We find all of them are thrown overboard. Why? Just because this person wants to appease his friend, keep his friend happy. And at the expense of the rights of his parents, etc., sometimes this person is carrying on with his friend and neglecting their rights. In fact, it mentioned one hadith that these are the signs of Qiyamah. Adna sadiqahu wa aqsa abahu. A person will get his friend and will bring his friend very close to him, very close and intimate with his friend. Wa aqsa aba, and he'll distant his father. He's distant his father. So many youngsters you find have no time to look after the father, to listen to them, to be obedient to them, to serve them. Why? Too busy engaged with their friends. This is not a good friend. This is the criteria and standard you must judge. He's taking away from those things that are your duties, those things that are compulsory and binding upon you, he's taking away. So he's not a good friend. A good friend is that person that is mindful, reminds you about your duties towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encourages you, and he makes it easy for you to tread the path of piety. So it is very, very simple to judge, very simple to judge and to look for a standard of good friendship is very simple. Person that helps me in my deen, helps me in the path of piety, he is my friend. And that person that takes me away from the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he is not my friend. We find further Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning the effects of companionship, says that the example of a person who is sitting in a good company is like that person who is sitting with somebody who is selling mushk and perfumes, etc. What happens when he sits there by him? Either he will get the smell, or that person will give him some good perfumes, etc., or he'll purchase from there. He will not be deprived. He will not be deprived from the goodness or the good aroma that is there in that person that has this mushk in him. And person who is sitting in the company of a blacksmith, then that person is busy with the furnace there and bringing away everything, getting away, putting the iron, etc., therein. So either this person will get his, if he's not careful, he will get his clothes burnt, or he'll get the foul smell emanating there from the furnace. Otherwise, he'll be affected by the environment around him. And this, as I say, we see in everyday life. Person is good, becomes bad because of his friend and companion. And the person is bad and he becomes good because of his companion and because of his friend. Very simple example is this, that you go into an environment, you are definitely affected. You go into an environment where it is extremely cold, everybody feels the cold. You go into an environment where it is extremely hot, everybody feels the heat. Why? In that environment, in the atmosphere. Similarly, a person comes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's inspired and motivated to carry out good deeds. Why? He sees the person next door making dua, person this side making tilawat, somebody making the zikr of Allah. He's affected by this environment and he is motivated and he's inspired to carry out good deeds. Similarly, and on the contrary, a person goes to an evil environment, then what happens? He's affected by that environment. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws our attention here towards friendship and tells us that we should be very, very wary and we should be very, very careful when we look at the friends that we have. If you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then who was the most closest to him? You get a word in the hadith, Khalil, which means a very close and intimate and a bosom friend. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَكُنْتُ أَتَّخِذُ خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. If I was to take somebody as my close and intimate and bosom friend, then I would take Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, وَلَكِنْ أَخُوَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ أُخُوَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَوَدَّتُهُ. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mubarak heart was overwhelming and overfilled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Says, but I extend my love to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the brotherhood of Islam to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he was the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even prior to Islam. Even prior to Islam, he was very, very close associate of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even before Nubuwwat and even before prophethood. And after Prophet, he was the first person that accepted Islam without any hesitation, without any reluctance. And he stayed in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a companionship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had acknowledged also and mentioned the Quran. Allah ta'ala says when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companion, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he was in the cave, La tahzan, do not grieve. So this companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained throughout his life, and he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his wealth, with his time, and with everything that he had, he placed in the service of Islam, the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He staked his life when he had made hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look at the close friendship and muhabbat and companionship of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even when he passed away, his grave is right next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many riwayats, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned about Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. He had held the Mubarak hands, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hands were in their hands, and he said, I will get up on the day of judgment like this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will be with me, and Umar radiallahu anhu will be with me. This is how close the bond and friendship or in companionship of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today in our midst we find the Shias that run down and revile and disgrace and try to humiliate Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given honor and respect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him the close companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before Islam, while in Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned one hadith verse to this effect, that the greatest person whose greatest favor upon me with his wealth and with his companionship is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And I have repaid every person in this world except Abu Bakr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay him on the day of judgment. That person who every door of paradise will call out his name. Sulasa once mentioned the hadith that there will be a person that every door of paradise will call out his name, yearning and expiring that person must enter into paradise through me. It will be an honor for the door of paradise. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will be that person? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it will be you, O Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His iman is put on one pan of the scale, and the iman of the entire ummah is put on the next pan of the scale, cannot outweigh the iman, or cannot even come parallel to the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Just one day and one night of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so much. Umar radiallahu anhu says that all my actions put together cannot come near to that one night and one day of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is the high status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given him from the 10 sahabas that given him glad tidings. First one was mentioned, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Yet we find some people in our midst who claim to be Muslims, who live with us, and they want to disgrace and humiliate Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. No sane Muslim, no Muslim that has some nobility in him can ever disregard the sacrifice of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, he had sacrificed all his wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. From the side of Allah, Jibreel salam had come down and given his salams to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and given him the glad tidings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him. When Allah and his Rasul are pleased with him, the entire world get together, cannot bring even one smudge on the great personality, impeccable personality of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So we should be very wary who we befriend, like Rasulullah salam says, especially those people that have erroneous beliefs, believes that against the beliefs of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, like the Shias who come now in disguise, come in many, many guises, in many, many forms, in many, many ways, but we should be wary that their beliefs are corrupted from the core. And when a person like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is not respectable in their sight, then what can we expect from them? In fact, they have negated the companionship of most of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only a handful, ma'azallah, they say, remained upon Islam. So this is a great menace and a threat towards the Muslim Ummah. We should be very, very wary and contact the respected ulama-i kiram in our places when we come across these people. As I mentioned, if you have that love, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever loves the Sahaba, man ahabbahum fa bihubbi ahabbahum, wa man abghazahum fa bibughzi abghazahum. This is a certificate to show that they don't have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever loves the Sahaba is because of my loves, and whoever despises the Sahaba is because he despises me. So how can a person claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and despise, ma'azallah, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he was very, very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I mentioned, the most closest companion here to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that we should look for five things, and five principles should be adopted before we can befriend anybody. Firstly, he says that person that you want to befriend, he must be an intelligent person. You must be an intelligent person, and you look for intelligence in the words of the Holy Quran are those people that make the zikr of Allah, contemplate and reflect in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are aware of the consequences of life, and they ask for refuge. Rabbana waqina azab an-nar. Oh Allah, you have not created this in vain, and save me from the fire of Jahannam. They are ever conscious about the akhirat and the consequences and result in the akhirat. Those are the ulil albab. Those are the intelligent persons. And another surah Allah Ta'ala, when he mentions them, they are those people that fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhina yufuna bi ahdi Allah. Those people that fulfill the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not break their pledges. And those people that carry out the ibadat, those people that practice patience, those people that repulse evil with good. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them as intelligent people. If you look in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the most intelligent person is that person that remembers his death. That person, he remembers his death and makes preparation for his death. That is an intelligent person. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu amila lima ba'd al-maut. He is ever vigilant as far as his nafs is concerned. He does not succumb to his desires of the nafs, and he makes actions. His actions are determined due to the consequences and result in the akhirat. If there are those actions that will help him in the akhirat, he carries out these actions. So these are intelligent people. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah tells us that the first criteria is befriend that person that is intelligent. Don't befriend a person that is a fool. Why? He will deceive you in this world. He will be of no benefit for you in this world. There will be no advantage in befriending that person that is a fool. Befriend that person that has intelligence and understanding, sound understanding, and is intelligent, not in the terminology and not in the norm that is present here. That person that has the greatest amount of money, that has the greatest bank balance, that made the biggest fortune as quick as possible, he's an intelligent person. No, that's not an intelligent person. Intelligent person are those people that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam regard as intelligent. The second criteria he mentions is he must have a good akhlaq. He must have a good character and good behavior. Befriend that person, not that person whose akhlaq is bad. He has sabr, he has patience, he is tolerant, and he is humble, he is simple, etc. And that person that has a good akhlaq, so that when you remain in his companionship, you can also benefit from his good character and from his good conduct. The third quality is this, that person must not be a sinful person. He must not be an irreligious person, because if you stay in the companionship of a person that's irreligious, then that irreligiousness and that person whose piety is not there, his evil will be transferred slowly to you. You will be affected by his way of life, by his habits, by his behaviors, by his ideals and values of life, and you will be affected, and you will also become like him. So you should be cautious and wary that person has he's the brightest person, he's an upright person, he's an Allah-fearing person. The fourth quality, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah writes, that person must not be an innovator. Here again, we should be very careful. Outwardly, the person looks very pious. He is punctual as far as ibadat is concerned, but he's an innovator. He's a person that innovates things in the deen. He thinks that these things are very good in the deen, those things that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not sanction, and he introduces in the deen. Outwardly, he's very pious, but he's an innovator. He's a person that involves himself in bid'ah. Those things that are not part of the religion, he regards it as religion. You should be wary about him as well, because what might happen, you will also begin to follow him in those innovations, and they will take you away from the true and the proper deen that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sent to us. And lastly, he mentioned, we should not befriend that person that is greedy for the dunya. His object is just the wealth, and he becomes your friend because of your wealth. And once you are not wealthy any longer, then his friendship ceases. No, that person that is haris and is greedy for worldly wealth, do not make him as your friend, because he's not interested in you, he's interested in your wealth. And once your wealth is gone, as I mentioned, that person is no more your friend. So here Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh mentions here these five principles that we should adopt and we should search for when you look for a person that's our friend. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us that we should not be very quick in making friends like we find today. Person didn't know that person, and one day's time it becomes his bosom friend. Person is prepared to sacrifice the whole dunya for him. Ahbib habibika hawnam ma asa yakuna baghizaka yawman ma. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us here in this hadith that be gradual in loving the person that you hold beloved. Why? Perhaps he may become your enemy tomorrow. And be gradual and moderate when you show some dislike and resentment towards the person. Why? Perhaps that person may become your bosom friend tomorrow. So you should be very moderate as far as your friendship is concerned. Don't just become a person's friend overnight, reveal all your secrets, etc. to him. You are prepared to sacrifice the dunya for him, and tomorrow you find that person doesn't turn out to be a friend of yours. In fact, you should be good. You should have good companionship with all people. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ahzin mujawarata man jawaraka takun musliman." That person that takes you as a neighbor, be a good neighbor to him. You will be a perfect and a true Muslim. Wa ahsin musahabata man sahabaka takun mu'minan. Or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and become a good companion for that person that adopts your company, and you will be a true mu'min. You will be a true mu'min and a true believer when you are good to your companions. Whoever is with you, you show goodness to him. And this is a sifat of a mu'min. A mu'min is filled up with khair, is filled up with good. Even if somebody directs evil towards him, then the mu'min does not resent and he does not repulse that evil with evil. But what does he do? He does ahsin. He pays back that evil with good and kindness, and that brings that person close to this person. What are the rights of friends upon each other? The rights of friendship is this. Firstly, that person must be concerned about your deen. He must command you to do good work and forbid you from doing evil. That is a perfect friend. That is a good friend. Secondly, he must be assistant to you as far as he must assist you as far as your deen is, dunya is also concerned. You are in difficulty and hardship. He is there at your service. He is there to help you. Friend in need is a friend indeed. Similarly, the third aspect of a friendship is this, that person must share in your happiness. He must be happy when you are happy, and he must share in your grief as well. When you are grieved because of some calamity, etc., he is there to stand by you. He also becomes grieved. He is sincere in his friendship. And he becomes happy when your happiness is there. Then he is sincere in your happiness. Like we had mentioned the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from that friend that is deceptful. He looks at me with eyes so apparently seeming that he has muhabbat in me, but his heart detests me. He tears me apart as far as his heart is concerned. Iza ra'a hasanatan dafanaha." When he sees a good attribute in me, what does he do? He buries it. He does not reveal it anywhere. And wa'idha ra'a sayyatan aza'aha. O kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sees an evil trait, then what does he do? He begins to spread it all over. This is the evil trait in this person. Together with that is that person who makes dua for you and is sincere in his friendship with you even after you leave this world. He's sincere in his friendship. He keeps up the friendship even with your family members. Fourthly, fifthly, when he's with you, then he's a good company with you. He's advising you, he's speaking to you, and he's showing that love and muhabbat for you. These are some of the rights of a person, of a friend over an ex-friend. If you look in the Quran and Hadith, we find there are many incidents that are mentioned about companions. Surah Kaf, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of two people. One was a mu'min, one was a non-Muslim. And he mentions how one was ungrateful to Allah and how the other one was grateful to Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Safat the about two persons. One of them had entered into paradise and the other one had gone into Jahannam. Allah Pak save us. This person told his companions, "I had a friend. Kana li qareen. I had a friend. He used to deny the resurrection on the day of judgment. Where is he? Can you see him?" فَاتَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ. The people say they looked around for him and they found him in Jahannam. And he told him, "You had nearly destroyed me. If it was not for the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you could have destroyed me and I could have landed in Jahannam because you told me there's nothing like resurrection." In the hadith we find a companionship of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Waqas radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu. How close they were and how good well wishers they were for each other. On the eve of Uhud we find both of them assembled and they make dua to each other for each other. And they mention that, "I will make a dua," one says, "and you say Ameen." Other said, "I will make a dua," and you say Ameen. These are true friends aspiring for goodwill and good and khair and righteousness for each other. Says Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu made a dua, and the words more or less of the dua was this, that, "Oh Allah, tomorrow when we face the enemy, then let me face an enemy that is very strong, is very fierce and strong, and let him fight me with his might and his power, and let me also fight him with my full strength, O Allah, and then make it such that I repulse him and I overpower him and I kill him, and let for your sake I kill him, and let his wealth be a booty for me." On this dua we find Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu tells Ameen. Then Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu makes a dua and he says, "O Allah, tomorrow on the day of Uhud, let me face the most toughest person in the enemy. Let him fight me with full strength and let me retaliate also with full strength. And though, O Allah, let him have the upper hand over me and let him martyr me. Let him cut my nose and my ears, O Allah, to such an extent that tomorrow when I come on the day of judgment and you ask me, that, O Abdullah, what has happened to your ears and what has happened to your nose? Where did you lose them? Then I can tell you, O Allah, that I lost them for your sake, for the sake of Allah and His Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And you attest to that. And you say, yes, we have lost it because of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cause of deen. So this was also a type of companionship, a type of friendship in the part of piety where people are vying with each other. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu says that both our du'as are accepted. But definitely Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu's du'a was a better du'a than my du'a. So this should be the friendship based on piety, righteousness. We assist each other in the part of Allah, in learning the deen, in going to gatherings of ilm, going to the majalis of the ulama. That is true friendship. It's mentioned on the day of judgment, friends will be told, those people that will become worthy of going to paradise, that intercede now, they will intercede on behalf of their friends. So the friendship of that person that is pious will help us in this world and help us in the hereafter as well. As far as the friendship of the non-Muslim, especially in the kuffar and the fujar is concerned, will be detrimental for us here and detrimental for us in the hereafter as well. In so many verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattahidu adui wa aduwakum awliya. Don't take my enemies, your enemies, as friends, meaning the kuffar, the Yahud and the Nasara. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq and understanding that we put the criteria of friendship before us and we choose those friends that are good for us for this world and the hereafter, not only for us, but for our children especially, and our wives and ladies as well. See that they befriend those people that bring them close to the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.